Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, January 16th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout. Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich. Esquibel, Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Hines,
Johnson,
here. Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Ross,
here.
Bebout,
excuse.
Hines,
excuse.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Pastor Whitmore. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There is no doctor for the day. Oh, wait, we've got to do reading, correction, and approval of the journal.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 15th, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
There is no... wait a minute. Are there any objections to the journal report? Hearing none, the report is adopted. There is no doctor or nurse for the day. Today in Wyoming, in 1919, Wyoming ratified prohibition. Thought for the day, it doesn't work to leap a 20-foot chasm in 2 10-foot jumps. Okay, introduction and reading and reference of bills.
I think you're right.
Senate File 117, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 117, confidentiality of domestic abuse victims' information. Sponsored by Senator Bebout, an act relating to domestic violence protection.
Senate File 117 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 124, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 124, Frivolous Liens, sponsored by Senator Perkins, an act relating to liens.
Senate File 124 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 127, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 127, Lien Notice, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, and act relating to liens.
Senate File 127 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 120, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 120, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, sponsored by Senator Hastert, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senate File 120 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, Qualifications for University of Wyoming Trustees, sponsored by Senator Ross, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove the requirement that a person be a qualified elector of the state of Wyoming to serve as a trustee of the University of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution 1 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 128, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 128, Bidder Qualification Community Colleges, sponsored by Senator Von Flatern, an act relating to public works and contracts.
Senate File 128 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 123, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 123, National Guard Armories, sponsored by Senator Hastert, an act relating to the military.
Senate File 123 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 122, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 122, Expansion of Medicaid, sponsored by Senator Hastert, and Act Relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 122 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from Standing Committee.
January the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 66, State-Funded Conservation Easements Restrictions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 15th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 69, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senator Burns.
Before we go to second reading, I was remiss in not asking for a re-referral on Senate File 76, Bighorn Sheep Relocation, sponsored by Senators Hicks, Driscoll, Emmerich, and Geis, and a bunch of House members down here. I would ask that you, it has an appropriation, and I would ask that you re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 76 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on second reading. Senate File 11, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 11, Circuit Court Magistrates.
Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 14, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 14, Correctional Industries.
Senate File 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 15, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 15, inmate transfers.
Senate File 15 having been read two times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 17, Community Juvenile Services.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 20, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 20, State Land Transactions.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 20, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 6.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move Senate File 20, Standing Committee Amendment number 1, and all this amendment does is take the YDOT out of the bill that we passed in yesterday in Committee of the Whole on Senate File 20, because if we left YDOT in, the State Land Board would have to meet once a week or maybe two or three every day to okay their buying right-of-ways and things like that. So we're just removing YDOT out of that bill. I'd ask for your favor on the vote.
Discussion on amendment number 1 to Senate File 20. Discussion. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I guess if we take YDOT out, maybe we should take everybody out.
Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? Question's been called. All those in favor of Amendment number 1 to Senate File 20, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 22, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 22, Uniform Consumer Credit Code Amendments.
Senate File 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, Authorization for Certain Radioactive Waste Facilities.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, yesterday there was a question that came up on this bill on the role of the NRC in the permitting process, and if the senators will look on their desk, I did pass around a sheet about the NRC and their required activities and what they regulate and so forth and how it's involved with the regulation of these facilities. Anyway, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Or Mr. President.
Any questions? Thank you, Senator Cooper. Senate File 26, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 40, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 40, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership.
Senate File 40, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 52, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 52, Natural Gas State Vehicles.
We have some amendments. The reading clerk will read in amendment number 1.
Senate File 52, second reading amendment number 1, page 4 after line 14.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52. Mr. President, when you look at the fiscal note in this bill, you see that this is going to cost the Highway Fund and Game and Fish $203,500 in just the first year. I think this is an unfunded mandate on those agencies, especially in the era of shrinking, our shrinking economy and their shrinking budgets. And so I think fair is only fair. If we're going to put this mandate on them, then we appropriate the money to them to be able to do this. And I'm only, and this amendment only appropriates the money for the first year. That way, it becomes part of the standard budget. They can go before the Appropriations Committee next year during the budget session and fight for any future appropriation for these gas-powered, natural gas-powered vehicles that we are telling them they have to convert their vehicles to.
Further discussion. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, and I applaud my colleagues' efforts to hold those two agencies harmless. But let me point out on page 3, lines 16 and 17 of this bill, it requires ANI to go out and purchase these vehicles also. These vehicles, the conversion is somewhere between $10,000 and $11,000. To buy them new, the initial expense is somewhat less than that. But there's no resources to do this. ANI budgets in their vehicle rotation certain dollars to replace vehicles within the state fleet. They are not budgeted to buy these more expensive vehicles as replacement vehicles. What happens is it's got to give somewhere. And this may be a very worthwhile project. But if it is, let's step up and fund it so that for the added cost, and I don't know what it is, to buy these things new, I believe the additional expense is somewhere between, depending what you get, how big and the what it's shaped like, $6,000 to $11,000 additional cost for each one of these new vehicles. And there's no money in here to do it. This amendment holds just those two agencies harmless. In fact, ANI is not held harmless at all, but they've got a mandate to purchase these things.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, parliamentary inquiry. Am I right in thinking this is the first one of these we've encountered this session. Am I right in thinking that our rules are going to require a roll call vote on this amendment?
You are absolutely correct. Senator Ruffus, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not averse to this particular amendment. I think it's a reasonable approach to call it out and then potentially be referred to appropriations if appropriate, or just have the standing roll call support stand for that. But, Mr. President, one of the things that I would like to point out, there's a little bit of a confusion about this being an added expense. You were distributed a sheet yesterday which indicates that there is a return on investment period of time, typically around 4 years. So while you have on new vehicles an added expense of around $10,000 to $12,000 for a typical vehicle, there's a 4-year payback period after which you'll be in net savings. So if you look at this in terms of a 2-year budget, then it's true that this is an added expense. If you look at this in terms of the long-term cost to the state of Wyoming, this is a sound investment that has a positive return on investment after that fourth or so year, depending on what the type of vehicle is. So it's a net savings when you look in the long term. It's a net expense when you look in the short term. That was the justification for why it didn't have an initial appropriation, because it sounds economics. It's the kind of choice that you would make as an individual to get a long-term savings for a short-term investment. One other point of confusion that I did hear that's a lesser point, but I'll clarify. There isn't any provision for conversion in this particular piece of legislation. It is for new vehicle purchases that would otherwise be purchased, but there's an added expense for those of about $10,000 each, so that clarification. So vote it up or vote it down. I think it's a perfectly reasonable approach to add that and make sure that we're adding an appropriation to it for that upfront cost. But in the long run, it's going to save us money regardless.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment. The principal reason I'm against the amendment is that, folks, you sit here and the issue is we'll just shift this cost to the general fund. We're in the budget markup process, and funds are tight. And it's if this is a you want to take it out of the general fund, it should have been re-referred to the Appropriations Committee. They would have had their say on it. Then we would prioritize it with all other spending. There's no prioritization on this issue. It simply is added on the run, if you will, with the assumption that the general fund budget reserves an endless pot and you can dive into it. So for that reason, I would urge your rejection of your vote against the amendment. With respect to the appropriation, though, and I do have some questions to sponsor, and that is when these bills go through, agencies appear. And if the agency at the first committee says, if the Department of Transportation says, look, we're not interested or we can't afford it, they testify to that. And if that testimony would have taken place, one would think that in the committee of origin, they would have put this amendment on the committee of origin, and it would have been then re-referred to appropriations. The assumption I have is the two agencies, when they appeared, either never objected or took some other action that we don't have, it's not really been fully explained. With respect to the Department of Transportation, they met with the Appropriations Committee 2 years or last year with respect to their intention to develop a fleet of vehicles with natural gas. They thought that their vehicles were very suitable for this, particularly along the southern corridor, because their vehicles go out 100 miles a day, come back, their engineers are back and forth, they can easily get refilled, and they were already engaged in this program. With respect to the so my assumption is if they still feel that way, that this is something they were appropriating out of their off-budget items, off-budget meaning out of the commission side of the budget anyway. With respect to the game and fish, I don't know what the testimony is. I don't recall them ever coming in and talking about their effort. But they do have a budget for vehicle replacement. And they're in the process. Look at all the green trucks you drive around. And we do have an interest in getting this state and moving them to the state fleet to help pay for these facilities by requiring them to use these conversion technologies. But, folks, if they can't afford it, the committee of origin was the time to say we can't do it or we're unwilling to do it. If it made it this far, the assumption is that they are on board with our overall effort, and their commission side of the budgets can pay for it. So I'd urge you to vote no.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'll take the words of the wise majority floor leader to heart, and I'll ask the question of why wasn't this entire bill re-referred to appropriations? This is an expensive bill that is going to affect all the branches of government that are listed in the bill because they're being told to go out and buy these more expensive vehicles. The reason that I brought this particular amendment for these two particular agencies is because they're the only ones that are actually on the fiscal note, and as the chairman of Judiciary pointed out yesterday, they're the two off-budget agencies. They get their funding from other sources other than the general fund. And if we're going to put a mandate on them to do something, we should be willing to pay for it. That's something that we as legislators come down here and deal with from the federal government every year. A good portion of our legislation is learning how to cope with mandates that are coming down through regulation and through legislation from Congress and regulation from the various agencies. Now, I would tell you that I would bet that the Department of Transportation, I don't know, but they did not budget for this particular bill and for the mandate in this bill. I know Game and Fish didn't. Now, if we're going to tell them you've got to do – now, Department of Transportation may be in a little bit different position because there are natural gas stations along I-80. But the Game and Fish trucks, they go up – and the reason they have those nice green pickups is because they go up into places – that most people won't take vehicles. And there isn't a natural gas station anywhere near them. So they have to be very selective on which trucks are going to be natural gas powered. And if we're going to tell them you've got to do this, I think we should be willing to pay for telling them to do this. So my first question is, why wasn't this entire bill referred to appropriations, and why is there no fiscal note for the other agencies that are mandated to do this? I'm only dealing with those on the fiscal note.
Members of the Senate, that was the sponsor's second time. Normal protocol would be to allow him the opportunity to speak last. However, this is the first time that we've had this situation, and we're early into the session. So I will allow Senator Burns, if he would like, to have the final word. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, a question, and probably best directed at the other more experienced member of the committee. Is it not true that in most of these factory-purchased vehicles that you can switch from natural gas back to gasoline? In other words, in the event that you were out at a distant point and ran out of the compressed natural gas, that you can switch back and you can run on gasoline. Is that correct?
Senator Hines?
Mr. President, I was going to answer the sponsor of the amendment question on why the bill was not re-referred to appropriation. There is absolutely no appropriation in the bill. And as we all know, virtually every bill that comes through here have a cost to some agency or someone, and very few of them have appropriations. So that is the reason it was not, there's nothing in the original bill that called for any appropriations, even though we know there's costs to it.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. To answer the question of the good senator, former president, it's my understanding and what knowledge that when you do a conversion like this, it's one fuel only. These aren't something that you can go back and forth on in this type of conversion.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. It was mentioned that we only have two fiscal notes on this bill. If I was in the chair yesterday, and I did look in the jacket, and there are other fiscal notes from other agencies in the jacket. In fact, there's about five or six of them. They probably came in later, but there are more, and perhaps we could look at those on third reading.
Senator Burns. Senator Roethlis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to clarify one point, with the new vehicles, you can purchase a hybrid version. So that is an availability on a new purchase, and this is only dealing with new purchases. So that possibility would exist where you could have a gasoline and natural gas hybrid on a new purchase. That's not to say that that would be all of the purchases. The agency would be flexible in determining what they were looking for based on the circumstances that they have. And one point I would make, which goes to the point raised by my colleague from Albany County, is we did have testimony from the agencies, and there was no request for an appropriation. There was no complaint. In fact, they're looking to do this to a large degree as it is. There was some concern by Game and Fish and some of the other agencies that we needed to provide flexibilities in such a situation that their mission wasn't consistent with this directive, which is why the first reading amendment, or excuse me, the Committee of the Whole amendment was brought forward to provide that flexibility. So my apologies if the appropriation seems in order for many here. However, it certainly was discussed, and as my chairman pointed out, there's no appropriation because no appropriation was requested.
How many times have you spoke?
Number two.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
This will be my number two because my colleague to the right gets three shots.
Because you guys weren't following the rules.
I was following the rules. But now that you've made a waiver of the rules, I'm going to take advantage of my second time. Right. Mr. President, with respect to the appropriations, the Folks, it's not simply that if there are fund switches and you need to go back and look at the rule, it's a little bit broader, and I would ask that the sponsors of the bill or the committee do distribute those other fiscal impact notes. With respect to the testimony for the vehicles that we were talking about last year, I don't know about this year, in an appropriations committee, most of these were converted and there would be a dual utilization. And I know that with the YDOT vehicles, they were always having two sources of fuel because they were concerned that these folks would, they don't want them stranded. And actually with the two conversion, with the two sources of fuel, they get about a 700 mile range instead of a 300 mile range. But they always have gasoline to fall back on, and one would think that they would take that into consideration and make sure you have two fuels. With respect to the notion that we shouldn't be appropriating things that create a fiscal impact on the off budget, that is the commission size of budgets, we do it all the time. And when you require that their employees participate in a state health insurance program, when you require that they have state retirement, things like that. So a lot of things that we do. And if you think the bill, I mean, there's no reason why these agencies who receive substantial benefit from the mineral industry, that receive tax benefit from it, they would have a great interest in making sure that our natural gas industry prospers, that we sell more natural gas, which in turn creates the taxes, which pays for a lot of our highways, and pays for the certainly the general fund part of the game and fish budget. The game and fish budget now is supported in part by the general fund. We all benefit from it, and we all ought to participate to it. And that partition means that participation, if this is a good idea, ought to involve everybody's budgets. And that's the policy decision on the bill. And my opposition to this amendment is simply that if it's a good policy, then they ought to adhere to it. That'll be the bill. But you don't take, keep shifting the obligation, the fiscal obligation of these off these commission budgets to the general fund. I'd urge you to vote no.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President.
For your third time.
For my third time, Mr. President. Unprecedented. And thank you very much. And as for those who spoke after my second time, I will try and fight with my heart to forgive them. But it
don't stand up so quickly.
Mr. President,
he was trying to close.
I didn't realize until my deskmate here mentioned that there were other fiscal notes, and it makes sense that this bill. And I think this is something we should think about for this bill when this comes on third reading tomorrow. This bill has a big fiscal impact, or has a fiscal impact, and I suspect an unexpected fiscal impact from the agencies. They set their budgets, and they were told to shrink their budgets. They're scrambling to try and find where to save money. And then we come along with this bill and say, oh, by the way, take your medicine. This is good for you. Oh, and it's going to save you money in the long run. Well, that's a patronizing attitude that just doesn't rub me right, Mr. President. If they're going to save money, if this is investment, they're going to save money down the line, fine. They can take it from their requests. They can shorten their requests later for money. But if we're going to tell them, you spend this money on this now, I think that we should give them the money to spend it on. Now, as to these other agencies, there may be a third reading amendment coming. I don't know at this point. Right now, I think that this amendment number one, only smacks of fairness. Especially two agencies that are off budget. And generally, for the most part, for the bulk of their budgets.
They come from other sources. And as the good chairman of the Judiciary mentioned yesterday, $100,000 is coming from the highway fund. At the same time that this legislature is going to be asking people to pay 10 cents more per gallon for their gas, it strikes me as it appears hypocritical by us. Game and Fish, I know this wasn't in their budget, and they're struggling. And there's another bill down here that isn't particularly popular because of the fact that their last real budget increase was 6 years ago. So if we're going to make them do, this, we should give them the money to do it. Thank you.
The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 pass? The reading clerk will read the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Why?
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
We have another amendment, the second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 52, second reading amendment number 2. Delete the Rothfuss Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, my good friend from Natrona County, the senator, pointed out that the language of the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 should be amended slightly, and I brought this amendment to correct a concern. In the original amendment, it referred...
Excuse me.
Mr. President, yes, I'd be happy to move. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52 and ask for favorable consideration. All the other stuff I said still stands. What it referred to originally was that an exception could be made under circumstances where the Department of A&I deemed that it was impossible or unfeasible from an economic standpoint to carry out the specific requirements of this legislation. This amendment simply changes what you see on line 12, such that it's on a case-by-case basis if the responsible department or agency determines that compliance would be difficult. The rest of the language remains the same. So it makes it so that the decision is not always made by A&I, but can, in fact, be made by an agency or department, and that hopefully clarifies and meets the concerns of the good senator from Natrona County. With that, I'd ask for a favorable vote.
Discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment has been adopted. We have another amendment. The reading clerk will please read amendment number 3.
Senate File 52, second reading amendment number 3, page 1, line 4.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 52. And Mr. President, what this does is address a concern raised by the senator from Campbell County regarding the rules and regulations making process within the Department of Education and how we go about writing the regulations for transportation, basically school buses. As you can see on page 4, it explicitly discusses that on lines 2 and 3, subject to state standards and department rule and regulation. The effect of that language is that rules and regulations would have to be drafted and approved by the department prior to the purchase of vehicles that were natural gas vehicles. So this amendment remedies that concern by adding an additional line effective school year 2013 through 14 and each school year thereafter to allow for some time to draft the rules and regulations. And then you can see in the amendment lines 10 through 16, a new section, section 3, that requires that the Department of Education shall promulgate rules and regulations establishing state standards that are relevant for this type of purchase. That's a necessary requirement. The original bill as proposed would have left that uncertain or ambiguous, and I appreciate the fine pickup from the senator from Campbell County.
Discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 52, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Folks, when I read this list, if you look on your green sheet, which has the current list, the motion I'm about to make will be consistent with that, but we're removing Senate File 31. With that, Mr. President, I move the following bills on consent. Senate File 5, Insurance Limited Lines. Senate File 8, School Capital Construction Capacity. Senate File 13, Uniform Commercial Code Revisions. Senate File 30, Special Districts. Senate File 64, Wholesale Malt Beverage Distributors Limitations.
Would any member of the Senate like any other bill removed? Senator Case?
Yes, Senate File 64, Mr. President.
Senate File 64 has been removed from the consent list. Any other? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 5, Insurance Limited Lines. Senate File 8, School Capital Construction Capacity. Senate File 13, Uniform Commercial Code Revisions. Senate File 30, Special Districts. And that's it. Reading, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flaturn,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 5, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 5, 30 ayes. Senate File 8, are there any changes? Barnard, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 8, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 13, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 13, 30 ayes. Senate File 30, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Coe, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Dockstader, aye to no.
Burns, aye to no.
Driscoll, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no.
Barnard, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
By your vote, Senate Files 5, Senate File 8, Senate File 13, and Senate File 30 have passed the Senate. Senate File 31, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 31, Wyoming Veterinary Medical Practice Act, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to veterinarians, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 31, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry to bring this third reading, and I move the third reading amendment to Senate File 31. There was some concern sent to me about euthanization of game animals by the Game and Fish. And so this cleans it up, tightens it up a little bit. As you can see it on line 1, or page 1, line 2, we change specified and insert providing applicability. Page 1, line 16, nothing in this section shall be deemed to apply to any employee of the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission who is euthanizing wildlife in the course of its duties. And lastly, on page 5, after dangerous, insert domestic. And I'll stand for any questions if anybody has any.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a question on this amendment where it references Wyoming Game and Fish Commission. Shouldn't that be the Wyoming Game and Fish Department? The employees are employed by the department, not the commission.
Senator,
I believe that.
Emmerich.
Mr. President, thank you. I believe the good senator has a point, and I'm not quite sure how to go about
rectifying. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'd ask that this bill be moved back one day for third reading.
Without objection, this bill will be laid back one day for third reading. Senate File 64, third reading of the Senate file. Mr. I got it.
Yeah, it's on. Senate File 64, Wholesale Malt Beverage Distributors Limitation, sponsored by Senator Coe, and act relating to alcohol licensing, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Case.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I always have a concern when we try to put contract language essentially into law, or try to put our thumb on the scale of balance between contracting parties. And I think it's unnecessary in this case, Mr. President. I'd like to tell you why I think that. Most importantly, I think that we already in 1996 passed a law that controls the relationship between malt beverage distributors and the manufacturers. It's in their alcoholic beverages title, and in that, there's some real restrictions on the manufacturers. Yes, manufacturers get to approve who buys a local distributorship, But it also says that that approval should not be unreasonably given, and that has been tested, and they've been forced to make sure that they don't unreasonably withdraw the approval of the transfer. Also, Mr. President, says that in the law it says that the distributorship is allowed to pass to their heirs, and that the manufacturer can't prevent that. So they could basically pass on these businesses. They can sell it to anybody they want. The manufacturer can't unreasonably prevent that. Mr. President, the other day there was a parallel drawn between this proposed law and our contractor preference law. And I wasn't very quick on my feet, Mr. President, but I think it's not right to draw a parallel. For one thing, contractor preference applies to public projects with public money. And it's just a 5% preference. It's not a prohibition. This is a private contract between contracting parties, and it's totally private money. It's a private business. Mr. President, it was also mentioned that a manufacturer might come in and buy up all these distributors, and then they would only distribute one product. I don't think that'd be a very smart business decision, Mr. President. But if it did happen, all the products that aren't being distributed would be allowed to be distributed by someone else, and we'd have entry into the market and more competition. In the long run, I think this isn't even in the interest of the distributors, Mr. President, because we foreclose the possibility of selling to someone if there's no other buyer. I'd like to ask the Senate to oppose this bill.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, in addition to the arguments mentioned, I would raise a question as to whether this is a constitutional enactment. We're seeking to regulate interstate commerce and doing it in a way that discriminates against people from out of state. I think you're at some constitutional risk. Now, it was argued that there's already a requirement, and you can see it on the bottom of page 1 at line 16, where we're restricting these licenses to people within the state, and what this bill does is go ahead and further restrict it. Now, and the argument was made, Mr. President, that, okay, we're already doing something like this, so we can get away with it. And I would recall to the Senate the words of the great George Washington Plunkett of Tammany Hall on this subject when he said, "What's the Constitution among friends?" And I think that's the basis on which our existing law rests. And I'm afraid that if you go as far as this bill is proposing, it will cease to be an issue among friends, and somebody will get mad enough to bring a lawsuit and get both the new law and the existing one thrown out. So I think this bill, even if you favor what it's trying to do, it's, I think, running some very significant risks of changing the law in ways in which maybe the sponsors don't intend. So in addition to the economic arguments that we heard earlier, I think, Mr. President, I think this bill is running a real constitutional risk.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also stand against the bill. It is definitely building a fence, something that we've always opposed in this body, that we don't want to fence people out. We want to make good laws for the health and safety of our constituents. But this just says nobody that's not in Wyoming, that's not a Wyoming resident, can own a wholesale distributorship. And that's not correct. We're injecting government into private contracts, which they have signed with their brewers. And so that contract's going to override pretty much what we did because they signed it prior to this law. What this law is attempting to do is get around some of the caveats of that contract. And then, once again, I'll reiterate the thing about the 5% preference for contractors. You notice how we don't use that preference if there's any other money than state money involved.
and it's public projects. So it's not a fair comparison between the two. I'd also bring the attention of the body, and this is something they're getting probably more than they asked for on this bill. If you go to page 2, line 15, to page 3, line 5, it actually strengthens the brewer's position, because now we're allowing the brewers to take over for up to 1 year. And the language that I think catches them, it says, you know, that the brewer can't cause the bankruptcy or the disruption of business and then take over. It's stated there very plainly. But it also says, and when you get to page 3, it says, or non-resident malt beverage importer that is prohibited under the franchise agreement. So in other words, they can do anything within that franchise agreement that may cause that wholesaler to go out of business or disrupt his business enough where he needs to quit distributing. And I'm sure there's an act of God language that doesn't make the brewer responsible for deliveries that don't show up. And what this language would say, that when that brewer gets in trouble, we are now allowing, or that wholesaler gets in trouble, we are now allowing that brewer to come in, which isn't even in the statutes today. So this bill doesn't do, I think, what it was intended to do. I think it actually opens it up. And as the tall senator from Natrona County said, it could possibly open it up enough that the Constitution between friends wouldn't be any longer between friends.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've been struggling with this bill throughout the week, but I now stand in for it after listening to the arguments for a few other reasons. As I started out my career in the Attorney General's office, one of my clients at the time was the State Liquor Commission. I got to know a little bit about why and look about the Constitution at that time as to an interesting notion that the state would be the wholesaler for all alcohol. And one of the things I learned then is there are a variety of reasons we would do it. One is to tax it. It is an enterprise for the state. Another thing that's interesting is that the same bottle of Jack Daniels costs the same for a distributor in Cheyenne as it does in Torrington and around. So everybody pays the same, Lander. And it's sort of a great equalizer so that you don't have the folks driving over to the next town just to get their alcohol. And it's worked well, and we tax it. You know, we forgave the we created an exception for beer distribution because it was pasteurized, it had to go out quicker, it was a different distribution model. But we gave that exception to them on the basis that there would be distributors in Wyoming, they would be distributing it, and it would be based upon this multi-tiered system. There are a couple things in the Constitution that I'd point out to you. First of all, if you look at Article 1, Section 30, it says that perpetuities and monopolies are contrary to the genius of the free state and shall not be allowed. And we have the capacity to determine in what areas we think certain things would lead to a monopoly or perpetuity. In this instance, we've decided that for beer distribution, as long as the three-tier system, we will let them out of going through the Liquor Commission. You know, folks, if we're going to have the manufacturers come in and say we want to do direct distribution, then let's require them to go back through the State Liquor Commission. And finally, an interesting part of the Constitution I'd point out to you is if you take a look at Section 10 of Article 19, Intoxicating Liquors, where we say on or after March of 1935, the manufacture, sale, and keeping of sale of malt, various spiritual liquors, wine, ale, porter, beer, and any intoxicating drink, mixture, or preparation of like nature may be permitted by the state of Wyoming and under such regulations as the legislature may prescribe. So we created we've authorized in our constitutional an obligation for the legislature to look at this and to regulate it. And if the discussion is going to be had as to whether or not we're going to have manufacturers a large manufacturer is distributing it, then let's have the discussion of whether or not all purchases would go back through the Liquor Commission. Under the present system, it worked, and it worked because of the three-tier system. And so at this point, I'd urge that you support the bill and maintain the system.
Eric Coe.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm the prime sponsor on this bill, and it's interesting they talk about the errors. You know, you can't unreasonably prevent errors from doing this. But I can tell you with the largest manufacturer in the world, which happens to be owned by, I think, European influence, we had testimony in committee that day. There were two young people there, college graduates. I think one was 27, one 24, boy and a girl. They wanted to buy their parents' distributorship, owned by the biggest manufacturer in the world. They had a terrible time getting it done. It took them forever. Shouldn't have had to happen. Now, remember what this bill does. In this handout that I see here, it says, supports the largest manufacturer in the world supports the three-tier system. That's what this is. That's all it is. Brings the three-tier system in. I'm not going to argue the constitutionality of it. Remember one other thing. All of the wholesale beer distributors in the state, all of them, to the last one, support this bill, as does the second largest beer brewer in the world. This is a good bill. The time has come for it. It's a three-tier system. Matches up to what we do with wine and spirits. Ask that you support the bill.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, I'm wrestling still with a couple of concepts here, and I haven't heard a response to the fact that this may potentially violate the Interstate Commerce Clause. I recognize the fact that we've given ourselves authority within our Constitution to do this, but our Constitution doesn't have supremacy over that Interstate Commerce Clause. So I would like to ask the proponents of the bill to give me justification where we have either not violated through this legislation the Interstate Commerce Clause or where somehow we're working around it.
Further discussion? Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. President, before my colleague from Fremont County speaks for a second time, on the Interstate Commerce Clause, and I was going to try to pull up the case about the 5% preference in Wyoming, and they alluded to that. As I understand that case, it talked about an unfair advantage was given to the people in Wyoming because of the 5% preference, and that was the issue. And how far do you go before it, in fact, becomes a violation of the Interstate Commerce Clause? And as I understand that, they determined that the 5% preference, even though it is an advantage for those people in Wyoming, that it did not violate it. And how you relate that to this particular case, I think, has been articulated pretty well by the sponsor of the bill and the majority floor leader. As to does it violate the Interstate Commerce Clause, it depends on who your friends are and when you're talking about it. I think that's a great argument. And if you don't like this bill, it's unconstitutional. If you like it, there's a way around it. It is constitutional. I think we all understand that. The other day I brought up the issue about our state liquor commission, and I, quite frankly, had not seen that part of the Constitution the majority floor leader brings up, and boy, that really says it all, as prescribed by law. We're going to have a little discussion a little later today about as prescribed by law and what that means. But clearly we have that authority to do that. Clearly no one's upset that. The other thing that I would say, just as a matter of practical experience, if somebody really, really likes all the things we do, but is so opposed to a bill, then why are they so opposed to the bill? If they say they're in a three-tier system, they like that, then why are they so afraid of it? So I think this is a good bill for Wyoming. I think it really, really, and not consuming malt beverages like my colleague from the northwestern part of the state does. But let's help these guys out. I think it's a good idea. I think the constitutionality of it can be argued in our favor, and I would ask you to support the bill.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I signed on to this bill, and so I just wanted to just briefly support some of the things that have been said by my friends behind me. And I appreciate the conversation that was had. I was in the chair the other day, and we had a robust discussion on this. I greatly respect the senator from the corner over there who often reminds us of issues of constitutionality and whatever. In fact, but I'll tell you, this session, I've learned a lot about the Constitution. I've got about 200 emails in that machine right there that question the constitutionality of something else we're doing. So, you know, I think we're always going to have the issue of, well, is it constitutional? Is it not constitutional? I tell you what it boiled down to for me on this particular bill, and that is that these are the guys right across the street. They're the ones that are supporting our Little League baseball parks. They're the ones that come up and support the Boys and Girls Clubs of our communities. These are guys that live across the street. And as the good senator from Riverton pointed out to you, if somebody from Belgium doesn't like this bill, there's probably a good reason why they don't like it. And if I'm going to err on something, I'm going to err on the side of the guys that live right across the street. So I urge you to support the bill. I think it's good for our communities, and I'd encourage you to vote aye.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, first kind of a point of order. I didn't bring an amendment on this bill, and I think it would be proper if the sponsor of the bill, which is the motion on the table, actually had the last shot. That'd be absolutely fine. So, Mr. President, we're not just necessarily talking about brewers. We could be talking about other out-of-state folks that distribute beer that makes it to Wyoming. But, you know, if you read in Title 12 under alcoholic beverages, I think it's pretty clear. It says, upon the death or disability of one of the officers, partners, or stockholder of greater than 10% ownership of a corporate distributorship operating the business of a distributor, no manufacturer shall deny the surviving officers, partners of the partnership, or stockholders of the distributorship the right to become a successor in interest. And it goes on. It does say, though, that provided that the survivor knows something about the business, and it says that the survivor has been active in the management of the distributor's business and is otherwise capable of carrying on the business of the distributorship. Well, I think that's what happened with the folks that discussed in our committee. They ended up with the distributorship. It might have taken a little while, and they had to work things out, but it was a work things out between private contractors. What we really have are double monopolies going on here, because the local distributorship is a monopoly as well. We don't seem to talk about that very much. But if I'm in the bar business in Lander, I can only buy that name brand alcohol from one local distributorship, Mr. President. I can't drive to Casper and bring it back to Lander. You can't do that. We are very restrictive about that. And so it's kind of like, I don't think anybody's got a white hat in this game. Make it seem like it, but the consumer is the one that's really left out. And if a manufacturer, importer, or distributor from out of state wanted to take over one of these businesses and did so legally through this contract, which I'm not sure how they could do, then what happens? All the brands that they don't distribute would now be available for someone to enter, and who would benefit? The consumer, who's the one that we seem to forget about when we talk about bills like this.
Any further discussion? Senate File 64, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing
Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
By your vote, Senate File 64 has received the affirmative vote of the members of the Senate and has passed the Senate. Senate File 104, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 104, Education State Administration, sponsored by Senator Coe, an act relating to government administration. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have some amendments. Amendment number one. The reading clerk will please read in amendment number one.
Senate File 104, third reading amendment number one, page 2, line 7.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 104, ask for a body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into the area of the qualifications for director. I make a slight modification in there. After knowledge, we insert of statistical analysis, data management, school finance, and possesses effective communication skills. Talked to the good senators from Converse County and up there around Cody, and they gave me the suggestions on these two here, and so we added them in. There is one thing that that as far as statistical analysis, we backed off of that for experience of a statistical analysis and just said it was knowledge of. The experience seemed to be a little bit restrictive, but they have to have knowledge of it. And I would hope that the body would move this through, and I think it makes it a little better. And with that, I'd stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Question's been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 104, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Another amendment. Would the reading clerk please read that amendment?
Senate File 104, third reading amendment number two, page 2, line 12.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 104. Mr. President, after the discussion we had yesterday on some amendments, the good senator from the western part of the state came to me and with an idea. We talked it over with a couple of other folks over in the corner, and with a good senator from Albany County here to my left, and we came up with what we thought was a reasonable compromise for the term limitations on the director. This has the director serving a term of 2 years. It says they may be reappointed without limitation. So if you get a hold of a good director, they can necessarily can go past from one governor to another governor. In a reappointment, though, you streamline the process, and you do not require that the State Board of Education submit three names if it's a reappointment, as it would be if it was a first appointment. Then the second part of the amendment here, Mr. President, really is how local boards handle their superintendents for the most part. It says the director shall be subject to an annual performance review by the State Board of Education, which shall be provided provide the governor and the legislature with a summary of the performance review not later than January 1 of each calendar year. Mr. President, with that explanation, I'd stand for any questions.
Further discussion? Senator Cole.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, I think probably this is a pretty good amendment. And so I would ask that the body support it. I think it probably adds to what we're talking about here and probably works pretty well logistically.
Senator Schiffer?
and I need some guidance here. What we're doing, we're not electing House members for a two-year term. We're trying to attract a truly professional educator. Normally, when you get it doesn't matter, superintendent of a big district or a little district, their employer, the board, can look at their performance, but they're under a contract, and they know that going in. If you're going to attract the quality of educator that I think we have in mind, and just tell them, gee, every 2 years, you got a dog and pony show to go through, you're probably not going to get much. They're just not going to do it. The people that are qualified to run a statewide education system are few and far between to start with. When they're walking into one, a new position that is being created under considerable controversy, they're going to be in peril, particularly the first one. And they know that. These guys are smart. They've got doctorates and things like that. But if the guy's good, if he's good, the governor will keep him. Understand, we're changing this, the whole concept. It is the governor's person now. If this bill goes through, and the governor can fire him if he doesn't do a good job. That's the way private industry works. If my hired hand doesn't do a good job, he's down the road. We're not the old deal where we go terms and 2 years and the Senate gets in and muddies the water and approves or disapproves. This is the governor's employee, and make no mistake about it. If he wants rid of him, he'll get rid of him. He'll be under tremendous pressure to get rid of him. They don't need us in that process. We can provide the guidance. We can continue with our accountability efforts, dealing with a professional. And hopefully it's a very high-quality professional. I urge you to vote against this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also stand in opposition to this amendment. It seems like every 2 years we're asking them, as was stated, going through the dog and pony show, and then we will also pay quite a bit more for this person if they know their term's up in 2 years or could be up in 2 years. Or you're going to get a lesser quality person who is willing to take the job for whatever that salary would be. My other question would be, and it says reappointed, so I assume that's through the whole Senate process, but I'm not absolutely clear on that. The other thought would be is if he's not reappointed, suddenly you have a mess because you have this vacuum created by us not approving that person. I think the review by the state board, the job review, evaluation is plenty. I think asking somebody to come to work here for 2 years of the quality we're looking for and tell them every 2 years he may not have a job, I don't think it'll work. I think we'll be searching for somebody for a long time. So I ask for your no vote on this.
Further discussions, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'd ask that the amendment be divided. The First Amendment, both First and Second Amendment, would travel with the language, page 2, line 12, after 2813103 insert. So that travels with both amendments. And the division number 1 would be the first sentence, the director shall serve, ending with required for the first appointment. And the division number 2 would be the director shall be subject to annual performance, ending with each year, each calendar year. So there are two sentences there, Mr. President. Division number 1 would be the first sentence that deals with the term. Division number 2 would be the second amendment with dealing with the issue of performance review.
Mr. Majority Floor, I need to follow you so that the first division is the director shall serve for a term of 2 years and may be reappointed without limitation.
And actually, there are two sentences there, and concluding the next sentence as well.
Mentioned
that's where I was confused.
And then any reappointment shall not be required.
That's part of division number 1.
That's division number 1. So the first two sentences on lines 1 through 7 would be division 1, and division 2 would be the director shall be subject to the final annual performance through the line 13. Is that correct?
Yes.
That appears to be divisible. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's on the first division and some of the comments that were made on that. I believe that both good senators who stood and commented that it's going to be hard to hire someone if they know that their job is up for reappointment in 2 years. It's just going to cost a lot more. But, Mr. President, actually, their job, and if you're looking at it, that their job is still at the pleasure of the governor, whether or not they're up for reappointment in 2 years or not. So from that perspective, I don't believe that it's gonna be that prohibitive of a bar for potential employees, potential directors, to offer their services to the state of Wyoming, because superintendents, even if they have a continuing contract, they're subject to review by their district boards every year, and they're subject to dismissal under those contracts if they don't perform. So, Mr. President, those are a lot of the same people that may apply, or that caliber of people that may apply for this job. So I think we're getting pretty close to apples and apples with the review and serving at the pleasure of the governor or our superintendents out in our districts at the review of the board and serving at the pleasure of the board. So I don't believe there's such a thing in the superintendent's contract that would not allow them to be dismissed for not doing their job. Maybe somebody's got a contract up there that says, I don't have to do my job and I'm still going to get paid and you can't fire me if I'm a superintendent. But if you got a board that writes a contract like that, that would be an interesting contract to see. Mr. President, I think it's that argument, I think, is just basically doesn't hold water. So I think we are going to attract professional educators and people with good qualifications. The salary is going to be quite a little bit more in any regard than what we're paying now, probably twice as much in any regard, maybe three times as much as what we're paying now. So, Mr. President, I think that this is a reasonable thing to look at. It does say what the terms are. It does define the length of the term of the appointment, and I think that definition of the length of the term of the appointment is important to have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on Division Number 1, Senator Perkins.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against Division 1, Mr. President, I think that we had this discussion to some degree yesterday. We talked about autonomy and whether this should be under the governor and whether it should serve at the pleasure of the governor. We had this discussion yesterday. And the decision of this body yesterday was to move this forward where this individual would serve as the director of the Department of Education at the pleasure of the governor. Now, we have before us, Mr. President, Division Number 1 of this amendment, where we're now going to serve, and I'm still trying to figure this one out, Mr. President, that we're going to serve at the pleasure of the governor for a 2-year term. They're inconsistent. Folks, we need to figure out if this is going to be the governor's appointment after he gets the Board of Education forwards three names to the governor. The governor picks one of those three. It's the governor's appointment, and then he serves at the pleasure of the governor. That's where it's set now. We just keep trying to salve our consciences or somehow move this needle a little bit more, a little bit less, by doing these types of things, and in the end, I think that we're doing a disservice both to the governor, to if this bill passes, to the future director of education. And I think we've had this discussion yesterday, and I think we made a fair decision yesterday, and we ought to stick to it. And I urge your adverse vote to Division 1.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I speak against this division and basically for the same reason we just heard, that I had questions on if the governor appoints a director. This says he shall serve for 2 years, which is, was pointed out, is different. Normally, every appointment serves at the pleasure of the governor, and then also would bring up can serve without limitations. I'm not sure where that would end up in later on in years when the governor changed, when the person in that governor office changed. Would that director be at the pleasure of the governor, or would he be there because he was appointed from by a different governor? So I don't believe that this is a good division.
Anybody else wish to speak? Senator Cooper.
For a moment, Mr. President, just to point out that, you know, the governor appoints many, many people to terms of office. We have many boards and commissions and everything else you can think of. He appoints chairman and to these boards, everything else. And just point out that the governor does appoint folks to terms of office.
Further discussion on, Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of observations here. Whether it be someone lined up or not to take the job, I would submit to you there'd be plenty within the educational system lined up to take this opportunity. They want the opportunity to come in and do some things that they see are necessary. At the same time, those outside of the system, they see an opportunity to come into Wyoming and get paid a whole lot more than what they've been paid outside of Wyoming. And 2 years allows us to simply have a check on the system. Mr. President, I'm on and for the division.
Further discussion. Ready for the question on Senator Meyer.
President.
Your second time.
Yes, Mr. President. I think we had some good discussion on that. Had a good sidebar here with my good friend from Johnson County about the real world out there as far as how some of the contracts may be. And I think that the contracts may indeed include some kind of a interpretation that it's a term that they're going to be hired for. But in reality, if the board wants to dismiss someone, I think these folks normally resign so they don't get fired, don't go through a court case, and don't have the potential of losing their rehire credibility. So they still serve at the pleasure, whether there's a term or contract, and most of these are not. Mr. President, if you look at the bill, and there was some discussion about from the good senator from Campbell County whether or not they shall serve for a term of 2 years. I think that was adequately addressed by the good senator from the western side of the state. But to further address it, if you look at the bill, page 2, lines 5 through 7, it says, "Who shall serve at the pleasure of the governor and may be removed by him as provided in 91202. And in 91202, subparagraph A, it essentially says that it's at the pleasure of the governor, and he can dismiss him for having one green eye and one blue eye one day. Makes no difference. So, Mr. President, doesn't interfere with the governor dismissing him. What it does do is give an opportunity for the Senate to look at this person who served in that capacity for 2 years, reconfirm him if we want to, after receiving 2 annual performance reviews. Mr. President, it's a relatively short process unless we have a situation where it demands a longer process where there's a poor service by the state employee. And I think it's a good little amendment here, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
We're on division number 1. All those in favor of division number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Division number 1 has failed.
All right.
We're now on division number 2. Senator Meyer, do you wish to address that first?
No.
Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. on and against the second division of this amendment. The way public agency and public service works, fellow senators, is that, and particularly with this position, which I think we all know is going to be under quite the microscope, trust me, that the governor will be providing this evaluatory effort every single day. And that's the way this works. This is like a letter of appointment position. We're not going to have some formal document that's presented to the legislature or to a given committee, because this evaluation is going to be done every day. And we're going to have committees working every single week with this director of education. So I just think it's just not necessary. Trust me, that person will be undergoing an evaluation every day. Thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. I, too, would urge you to oppose this division, and I would agree with most everything that's been said by the previous speaker. And when I read this, I'm mindful of this expression of serving two masters. And I'm thinking that that would be very discouraging for the quality and type of individual we're trying to attract.
Further discussion on division number two. Question's been called. All those in favor of division number two, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That portion of the amendment has failed. Amendment number two has failed in total. We have another amendment, amendment number three. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate file 104, third reading amendment number three, page three, line three.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number three to Senate file 104. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, staff brought this amendment to me to make basically it's a conforming amendment. When we passed the amendment yesterday, determining giving the duties of proper and safe storage and disposal of toxic chemicals to the superintendent in school districts. We had to bring in another section that said that they consult with the Department of Environmental Quality. And also, it was easier, Mr. President, just to make the deletions down in page 34 and the top of 35. And leave those as exactly as they are in current statute, rather than putting them back to current statute and leaving them in this bill. They just don't have to be in the bill, Mr. President. So that's what the amendment does. It's just conforming amendments. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Yeah.
Question has been called on third reading amendment number three to Senate File 104. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. We have another amendment. Amendment number four. The reading clerk will please read that amendment.
Senate file 104, third reading amendment number four, page 66, line 15.
Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number four to Senate file 104 on third reading. This amendment simply changes the enactment date to be, instead of immediately upon, to be July 1st of 2015. This really, I think, will mitigate some of the negative feelings that the people of Wyoming have toward this body because of this entire bill. Certainly, it changes the effect of future votes of people, and that in the future they will not be able to vote for the superintendent with the duties as they currently stand. By putting in this change in the enactment date, it doesn't change the vote that they've already cast, so that it will just become future and not become the past vote. This makes the enactment date to go through the next regular scheduled vote of the people. It also will give time for the Education Committee to hold some information sessions during the interim times, should they want to do that. It gives time for this information to reach the public. It also gives time for it to reach teachers and students. I think making this big of a change suddenly will cause some feelings of uncertainty among teachers, pupils, and parents. By making the enactment date later, the information can get to those people and they will have an opportunity to ask questions. It also gives time for applicants for this position to know that it's going to be coming up and so that they can prepare for it. It also gives the State Board of Education some time to decide whether they want to remain on the board given the extra responsibilities given to the board. The board members that I talked to did not favor this bill, so that if it's something that they feel they don't want to have among their responsibilities, they can ask to or choose not to run for that board in the future. So I urge the body to vote affirmatively on this amendment.
Further discussions? Senator Coe.
We don't have time. Education accountability is an ongoing process, as we talked about on this floor, that started in 2011 with Senate File 70 and then last year Senate File 57. We've already had to, at our December meeting, delay, move back implementations of Phase 1 and Phase 2, which you'll see those bills when they come over from the House. The voters, as far as they're being informed, I think we've made tremendous efforts out there to get our message out about the problems we're having. And I draw your attention right here to this handout today. Here's the most recent editorial out of the Casper Star just this morning. So this is a process that we don't have time to wait. We have to move now. We have to follow the law. The laws that we put on the books. With what's going on right now, that's not happening. We can't have two more years of the 2 years we just had when it comes to education accountability. So I'd ask that you defeat this amendment. Let's move forward. Hopefully vote the bill up. Start the process. Take control of the process. Be able to have somebody that wants to cooperate with the process. So let's move forward on Senate File 104 and start by defeating this amendment.
Members of the Senate, please be careful to not use any entity's name on the floor. Mr. Majority Floor there.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Folks, most of the budgets that we're talking about have really developed since Campbell County won lawsuit, I think since our special session. And prior to that time, your funding was at local districts. And after Campbell County won, it's 1996, 1998, we had a special session, we created all this funding, and we took over the responsibility to improve education, and we put a whole mass of resources in it. And then after we resourced the school system, made it well endowed, if you will, we began looking for the next move. It was all intended to improve the quality of education, to improve accountability. And as we look back, and I know that I'm one of those people that look back over the time that I've served on this legislature and have some frustration that we have not moved fast enough. And part of what we have to remember is that right now, as I look at the budget, there are 150 employees that are authorized in the Department of Ed. And they're intended to implement and move forward our policies. We don't have the employee staff to move our policies without the use. And for many years, we had positions or opportunities where those employees were working with us to move forward on a common plan. Without those employees, we just can't get our job done. And we're spending all this time having, as you've read the State of the Education message, that there's a different vision. And these 150 employees are not available to you to move your policy. So if you want to say, look back 2 years from now and say, well, we just know the next 2 years just aren't going to work out, well, fair enough. So those employees need to be working on the programs. We funded them. We hired, we authorized the employment of them to implement our programs, and it's time to get them working on our programs immediately, and so that we can look back in 2 years and say we've really made a difference. And we can't do it without the employees. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, let's look what this amendment does. It offers the body a choice. And the choice is whether or not fire the superintendent of public instruction or ostensibly remove her of all of her duties. It's the same thing. You know, if it acts like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. And so what this allows this body to do is say this, that we want to change in the future. We want to make sure that we affect that change in a slow, deliberate process. If this is a major change, it's changing a constitutional officer, basically making it a cabinet-level position. And although there's been a lot of study involved over the last 20 years, 25 years, a lot of discussion, we haven't had that public input. So it allows us to slow down a little bit, but give a definite direction about where this body wants to take education. And that's to say we're going to have a director in the future. That in 2 years there will be the policy set forth by 16 people, at least on this floor, that we're going to have that policy. But we're not going to fire their superintendent of public instruction, that well over 100,000 people across the state voted for a constitutional officer. We're not going to usurp their constitutional right to vote. They voted for a person. They voted for that person knowing what the duties that office held. And that person was duly elected and sworn in. Now let's see what happens if to education if this person remains in. There's been some discussion that assessment and accountability and the speed in which some people believe it should be implemented is going to be delayed. I think there's some friction in that between the speed that the department wants to move, the direction the department wants to move, and the direction that this body has determined. I don't think that there's any differences that could not be surmounted. I think that the department can work cooperatively with this body in the future. Mr. President, I think there's been some delays in implementing assessment. Part of those delays were brought about by a change in 40 people moving from Laramie over to Cheyenne. The reason for that was to bring in a better communication within the department. Unfortunately, I'm not sure whether that's actually occurred because of the loss of employees at the department, which I'm sure will be replaced. You can't run that size of department without a critical mass of employees. I'm sure that there's going to be some employees brought back on. And so I think assessment will move forward. It will be slower than perhaps some of us want, maybe faster than perhaps some of us want. Mr. President, what's going to happen at the local level? Well, Mr. President, we had an audit by the department, $260 million, and the department itself The foundation programs are out there. Every school is being funded. Every school board is getting the necessary funds to make the decisions that they have to make locally. The local boards make the decision on curriculum. We haven't taken that away from them entirely yet. Mr. President, the local boards make the decision about who gets hired, who gets fired, what teachers teach, what principals are at which schools. That's not going to change.
30 seconds.
Wish to revise my remarks, but give me 2 minutes and call a time then, Mr. President, if you would. So, Mr. President, I think that what's going to happen as far as the implementation, out where the rubber meets the road, where the child, the parent, and the teacher make the decisions about how that child is educated, that's not going to change. That triad of effective education remains in either regard. That's not going to change. But, Mr. President, I think that the education is definitely going to occur in the same manner as it will in either regard at the local level. We're not going to change education at the local level. Now, it's going to be a little slower as far as some of the data that we get back in. But frankly, Mr. President, the biggest problem we had with data that came in front of the Appropriations Committee was not with the department. It was the Professional Standards Teaching Board when we tried to get some data. And they had a system where they indexed all the teachers on a first-name basis. And that was one of the places where we had the hardest time getting data was from that board. It wasn't the department. So, Mr. President, you know, we have a challenge and always have had effectively getting results out of our educational system. But, Mr. President, I don't believe that firing a constitutionally elected officer, ostensibly firing them, taking all their duties away, that is necessarily what the voters intended 16 people on this floor to do. This gives us an option to show the people in Wyoming the direction we want to travel without usurping their right to vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, I'm not exactly sure this is the right place, but the amendment is to put this off for a couple of years. And really, it's the same discussion about the bill, so I'm going to talk about the amendment. I don't intend to talk anymore after this one. So can we afford to put this off for a couple of years? I think we can. You know, this morning, all across Wyoming, kids got in those yellow buses. They went to their schools. Probably right now, a lot of them are eating. If you're like me, you're probably screwing around. That's what I did when I was there. But there's a lot going on in our schools right now. The teachers are teaching. Kids are getting fed. The buses are delivering. There's sports activities. It's happening right now. If we pass this bill or not, it's going to happen. If we put the date of July 1st, 2015, locally, it's still all going to happen. We've accomplished a lot in education since I've been down here. I haven't always agreed with it, but it seems like we did, as a legislature, we developed and we implemented a model of that equalized funding. We improved teacher salaries all across Wyoming. We built new schools. We created the Hathaway program. We set curriculum and standards. We've accomplished all that through various superintendents during the time we've been in this legislature. We're still going to make progress. What we haven't done, Mr. President, is figured out accountability. And our kids aren't all doing better, Mr. President. That's the piece that we just seem to just bust on. We keep calling for accountability. It doesn't work. We've had about 4 or 5 different initiatives on this, and tests, and PAWS, and DAWs, and I don't know all the stuff we've done. But that seems to be the biggest rub. And it seems to be largely a rub between people, Mr. President, people that are members of this body, people that used to work for the Department of Education and then became liaisons to this body. And the people are all fighting. And the people aren't getting along. And it's mostly because we haven't figured out this accountability thing that I can see. So I'm not sure the right thing to do is to throw it all out. So I think this is a good amendment, Mr. President, to give us a little bit more time to think about it, hold everybody's feet to the fire, so to speak, and really get past these people issues and try to figure out what's right for the kids. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not against the amendment, Mr. President. Waiting two more years is waiting two more years to have the executive branch respond to legislative directives. It's not a matter of whether or not school will continue. School will continue, and children will continue to get an education regardless of how this particular amendment goes. That's true. But we want more than just for school to continue. We've spent 2 years, over 30 days of activity by select committees, advisory committees, working on trying to make our education system the best education system in the country. We spend that much money. We owe it to our constituents. We owe it to the people of the state of Wyoming to fulfill our constitutional obligations to represent the people in our districts. There's a lot of talk about trying to delay so that the people's voice is heard. We are here representing the people's voice. We are senators of our districts and our constituents. We recognize that we provide the legislative directive to carry out the will of the people, and we recognize that it is the obligation of the executive branch to fulfill those directives. And we also recognize that the Wyoming Constitution provides that if those aren't carried out, that we can restructure them. Article 4, Section 12, which we've been over and over again, indicates that it is up to us to prescribe by law the responsibilities of the representatives of the executive branch. We see a situation where we are not having our directions fulfilled, and we are legislating a solution that is wholly constitutional, based on the will of the people to educate our kids, Mr. President. Delaying is exactly that. It's basically saying, all right, let's go ahead and wait two more years to not get anything done. As my chairman said, we don't want to have two more years of the last 2 years. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make sure that we have a path forward. We don't have that right now. We've wasted over a year in the progress that we hope to attain. And if it's not your kids in the system, yeah, maybe you're willing to wait a couple more years. On a personal basis, I'm not. I know that my constituents are not. We need to get this done. We need to move our education programs forward. House Bill 104 is the way, and I urge everyone to oppose this amendment. Let's get this done.
Question's been called on... Excuse me, I am so sorry. Senator Nutty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The sense of urgency. This changing to a director is not a magic bullet. We aren't going to enact this change and a month later see these measurements in education suddenly change. Education over statistics over a large number of students don't change fast. It is not a magic bullet. I urge the group to pass this change in enactment so that we don't negate the vote of the people after the fact. Thank you.
Ayes and nays have been called for. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Third reading, amendment number 4, by your vote has failed. We're back on the bill. Discussion on Senate File 104. Seeing none, are you ready for the question? The question's been called. Have been read three separate times. The question is, shall Senate File 104 pass the Senate? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader? Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Scott?
Aye. Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 104 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
It's been miserable for the President. Every time they
get... Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate beg leave to rise again at 2 p.m.
Announcements. Move to recess. The motion, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, is that the Senate move to recess.
That's all I did. Well, I apologize. I move that we recess until 2 p.m.
All right. What announcement, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me. Mr. President, your committee number 2 appropriations will meet at 12:30 in room S-13 to discuss the following bills. Senate File 55, Energy and Natural Resource Education Initiative, a re-referral. Senate File 105, School Capital Construction. Senate File 106, Projects Funded by Abandoned Mine Land Funds. And, Mr. President, we will continue the budget hearings at 3 p.m. In the Joint Appropriations Committee room.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment this evening in S-14 to discuss Senate File 102, I-80 tolling, Senate File 16, aeronautics programs, Senate File 57, highway speed limit increase, Senate File 87, proof of motor vehicle insurance. And I do want to note, Mr. President, that Senate File 102 was not announced last night, although published on the report, and it will be the first bill tonight, I-80 tolling, Senate File 102. Thank you.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, the committee number 9 will meet in approximately 15 minutes to discuss Senate File 28, Resident Preference Provision. We will not discuss Senate File 49 today.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning up in S-14, where we will continue discussion on Senate File 54, Limited Alcohol Beverage Permit, and we will also take up Senate File 53, Partition Action Subject to Subdivision Laws.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, the examination of the computer is going to take place on another day. It will not take care this week, this today. We'll give you another time on that. They're working on the House computers and think it'll take longer than they anticipated. With respect to the Masons, you've now been distributed the 2011 Masons. If you have a 2010 set already, please give the book that was distributed to back to the page so that you do not have more than one. There were not enough for both houses, and we were a little crankier, so we got one for everybody, and that's fair enough. So we get one everybody. It'd be the black one. So if you have two black ones, don't take a second black one. That's green. So there's a 2010 one that comes out today. If you happen to already had one, Senator Von Platen, I know, had one. I've got one. If you've already got one, please give the new one back to the page because the House is only going to have one between all 60 of them, but that's all they really need.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. We haven't gone into hard duty hours yet, so it'll still be at 8 a.m. We'll hear the following bills in Room S-19, Senate File 19, Hospital District Elections, Senate File 6, Office of Consumer Advocate Revisions, Senate File 37, Office of Consumer Advocate Revisions 2. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any further announcements? You've heard the motion that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate's in recess till 2 p.m.